And it is my hope in this meeting tonight, this keynote address for this conference, to impart to you what I call a Joshua anointing. How many of you would like to receive that anointing on your life and in your spirit? It is the anointing that takes people places they've never been to before. And you have to have that kind of an anointing in today's society, because we're going places and facing things we've never faced before. But there is an anointing in Scripture that you can possess, that you can cross over that Jordan into a place you've never been before and be triumphant and victorious and still maintain the identity of what God has called you to be. And Joshua rose early in the morning, and they removed from Shittim and came to Jordan, he and all the children of Israel, and lodged there before they passed over. And it came to pass after 3 days that the officers went through the host. Now, I be's the officer for tonight. And I'm supposed to go through the host. And I've got a particular word for you. And they commanded the people, saying, when you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God, and the priests, the Levites, bearing it, then ye shall remove from your place. Now, in the Hebrew, they weren't just saying, now we're going to move from point A to point B. That's not what they were saying at all. But in the Hebrew, they were saying, we need to change our mindset. We're not wilderness bunch any longer. We're going to the promised land. We're promised kids now. They were actually asking the people, it's time to change the way you think. Change your mindset and your opinion about yourself, because you're not going to be the same after today. And go after it. Now, I like that. That's just right up my spiritual alley. Go after it. If you want something from God, go after it. Don't just sit there waiting for it to come and hit you upside the head. Go for it! Come on, Mark Conference, let's get some spiritual power in us and let's go for it! Yet there shall be a space between you and it, about 2,000 cubits by measure. Come not near unto it, that ye may know the way by which ye must go. For ye have not passed this way heretofore. Joshua said unto the people, sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. I'm only interested in the miraculous that leads us to sanctification. And that's connected to the sanctifying power of the Spirit. Because when you get into the other realm, you can get into trouble. But I believe it's time for the church to sanctify herself and get ready, because God wants to do miracles and wonders among us. My text, remove from your place and go after it. Let's lift our hands and thank the Lord for His Word. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, your Word is powerful, anointed, sharper than any two-edged sword. Minister grace to every heart. God, we want to go places that we've never been before. We've got to obtain the promise of what you have given us. Lord God, we've got to go for it in Jesus' name. Give us the spiritual power. Give us the spiritual energy to continue the journey with joy and reach for the best that you have. And everybody said, in Jesus' name, God bless you. You may be seated. I believe that God desires to impart to every individual in this place a Joshua anointing. He wants to anoint you so you can obtain a promise that God has made to His people. But you got to understand where he got his anointing from. He was not anointed with oil as other people were. He received his anointing from the laying on of hands by Moses, and he was issued a charge. Now, in my vernacular, in my understanding of the word charge, it means charge. It doesn't mean sit there. It doesn't mean wonder whether or not God's going to work for us. It means charge. That means everybody's got to accept their personal responsibility. I'm going to do my part so God can do His part. God's not going to do wonders among us until we get busy doing what we know we ought to be doing. You already know you need to pray. You already know you need to worship. I don't need to tell you that. Why don't we start doing what we know we're supposed to be doing? We're supposed to be witnesses unto Jesus in this generation. Where is our testimony? Where is our witness? Charge! Now, I like what this charge was when he gave it to Joshua, because this charge actually told him, he said, I want you to cause my people to inherit the promise. God wanted to strengthen and encourage Joshua so that he could cause the people. I don't want to make you do anything you don't want to do, but I sure would like to cause you to do it. I'd like to make it so hot and so real in this place that you're biting at the walls to get to it. If you don't want to worship God, then please sit down, because I don't want to aggravate you, and I don't want you aggravating me, because I feel real good right now. If you don't want to praise God, then you just sit back, honey, and enjoy yourself, and I'm going to enjoy myself too. But I sure would like to cause you to inherit the promise that God has given, saying, I want that. I've got to have that. Woo! Can I have that tonight? We might as well remove from our place and go after it. Nothing causes people to move any more than what spirit of encouragement coming into their heart and lifting them up and giving them the strength that says, you can do it. I'm not just talking about somebody else outside of this building. I'm talking about you. God can strengthen and encourage you to cause people around you. I think there ought to be a glow and a light of joy in the spirit of every apostolic believer that when somebody meets you, they want what you've got. When they look at you, they don't see a sad, long face always walking on your bottom lip because you got to do this and you can't go there and you can't do that. I think we need a new mindset. Some of y'all need to change the way you think about yourself. You want to just sit there and let the devil walk all over you and use you as a doormat? Go ahead. But friend, that's not in my spirit right now. That wasn't put in me when I was raised in this thing. We are one God, apostolic, tongue-talking, and we ought to be thankful for who and what we are. It ought to cause people to want to get up and clap their hands and rejoice in the Lord and say, I'm glad to be a Christian. Can I get a witness from the audience? Does anybody feel something on the inside like a well of living water springing up into everlasting life? Well, I'm going to compliment you right now, okay? I'm going to compliment you right now. Don't get the big head. But I'm so glad to be in a conference that's worshiping more with the Word than they are with the choir. I mean, I want you to worship with the choir, but I like it when the Holy Ghost starts working in the Word and something starts moving way down deep. And it's like a well of living water. Said, I got to go for that. I got to have that. If we're going to have end time revival, it's still going to come through preaching. It's not going to come through a song and dance routine. It's still going to come from old fashioned prayer, repentance, worship, and preaching and teaching of the Word of God. Can I get a witness from the audience? It's time to stir up the gift of God which is in thee. Was put on thee by the laying on of hands. So I want that cause to get a hold of your spirit right now. There is a cause. I made up in my mind, I'm not just going to worship just to give my approval to what somebody's doing. I'm going to give my praise to glorify God. It's not going to be for entertainment or recreation. It's going to be to draw some glory in this house so we can change some lives. Because you can't take ranked sinners and turn them into saints without a genuine move of the Holy Ghost. But friend, if the Holy Ghost ever gets a hold of that sinner, the power of the blood can still clean them up. The power of the name can still write their name in the Lamb's Book of Life. They can be filled with the Holy Ghost. They can be baptized in Jesus' name and become new creatures in Christ Jesus. I still believe in the hope of the gospel of Jesus Christ. He who died, was buried, and rose again on the third day. He is the one who is the risen Savior, Lord of all. I exalt His name. I magnify His name. I give Him glory and honor. So that's the cause. But now I got to show you how to get the anointing. See, it started in Joshua's life when he started his first battle. We find him in Scripture the first time fighting a battle in a valley against the Amalekites while Moses, the leader, was on the mountain with his hands lifted up. As long as the leader's hands was lifted up, they were winning victory in the valley, and it was Joshua's job to keep all the troops together and keep them focused on the battle. Now, they weren't fighting on the mountaintop. They were fighting in the valley. You don't get this anointing just by being a feel-good person. We got a lot of mountaintop people when they're feeling good and the entertainment's good and everybody's performing at top level, then we're really with the program. But when you got to get down in the valley where it seems like nothing works out, the choir's out off key, the preacher can't hit the note. What's wrong here? I tell you, we need somebody that knows how to go to battle. It might be we need somebody to do a little spiritual warfare and let's see if we can't get a breakthrough in the house. We need some valley fighters in this place here that says, come on, I'll get down where the mud is and I'm going to fight this thing until we get the breakthrough we got to have. We need a breakthrough in the United Pentecostal Church. We're going into a new millennium. We don't know what tomorrow holds, but we know He holds tomorrow in the palm of His hand. And He knows what He's going to do. He already knows what He's going to do. He knows exactly how He's going to break the bread. He knows exactly how He's going to multiply our little and make it enough to feed the 5,000. Our Jesus already knows. He's just asking us questions to find out what we're going to say about it. Yeah, well, I've got 5 loaves here and 2 fishes, but what are these among so many? Oh, but I'm going to put it in His hands and start fighting and start swinging anyhow. I'm telling you, the devil will back you down if you'll let him. He'll intimidate you and put you down and say, well, what do you want this promise for? You got a little attitude about you. You better believe I've got a hallelujah attitude. I got a Holy Ghost attitude. And it says, devil, you may try to back me down, but I'm going after what I know God's put out there in front of me. I know there's a little space between me and it, but I'm still going for it anyway because I want to know the way that I need to go in this hour. I'll tell you one thing, we're not going the way of the world. We're going to stay with holiness, and we're going to stay with Acts 2:38, and we're going to stay with water baptism in Jesus' name, and we're going to stay with the oneness of God, and we're not leaving it. Because I believe what worked in the wilderness is going to work in the promised land. What whooped the Amalekites is going to whoop up on all the Canaanites. Huh? That power in the wilderness that led you through is going to keep you when you get to the promise. Well, you got to do something else. You can't just be a valley fighter. The Bible says that God told Moses, said, if you're going to get Joshua ready, you got to rehearse these words in his ears. You got to rehearse. That means you got to go to rehearsal. That means you got to practice till you get it right. Well, I tried and it didn't work. We're good at that, Pentecostals. We clap our hands one time and if we don't feel it, we quit. Well, I tried teaching that Bible study and it didn't work. What happened to our rehearsal? You said, well, what do you want me to do? Do it again! How many times you want me to clap my hands? Shall we get the breakthrough? Boy, that's deep, but it's true. I know that went over your head. But listen here, do it again.
again. You say, but I tried once and it didn't work. Go back again. Keep going back till you see the cloud lock into a man's hand appear unto you and give you the confirmation. The miracle's on the way. Rehearse it. Do it again. You say, but I preached Acts 2:38 last week. Preach it again. We better never get tired of hearing the simple gospel. Can I just tell you how I feel? I'm telling you, the churches that are having the greatest revivals today are not the churches that are going through all the new concepts and new deals. They're the ones that are preaching the same simple gospel over and over and over again. They're the ones that are just getting up there and saying, Jesus saves and Jesus heals. Keep it simple. Jesus delivers. Guess who does? Jesus does this. Guess who saves the sinner? It's not me. It's not my program. It's Jesus! What is His name? He's not Jehovah Jr., but He's God Almighty manifest in the flesh. And because He is, I'm going to exalt Him tonight. You better believe I've got a cause beating in my spirit. And I've got to praise Him and magnify Him. Because He can make the difference. He can heal the sick. He can save the sinner. Hallelujah. It's got to get into our heart. We got to rehearse it and do it again. And again. And again. Keep praying. Don't stop. I don't care how discouraged you are. Hold your head up. You're a child of the King. I don't care how many times you prayed and God didn't heal them. Pray again. Pray again. Keep on knocking till the doors open. Keep on praying and asking till you receive. Don't stop. Go after it. You got to rehearse it. You got to rehearse it. But this is what I like. Joshua also had one of those departing not spirits. I mean, he just hung around. He just hung in there. When everybody else left, he departed not. Now, you know what that word means in the Hebrew? It means to recede on contact. A lot of people, they want to touch it, but they want to recede from it. No, I haven't had enough of that. That get a hold of me and it changed me all up. You want to just touch it so you can... And then you want to move back. But Joshua says, uh-uh, not me. I want to touch it. And I want to get a hold of it. And I'm never going to let it go. Come on. Do we have any Bible school students that still have that spirit? I'm not leaving. I'm not departing until I get my answer from God. We need that kind of spirit to get a hold of us and baptize us all over again. I'm not stopping and I'm not leaving until God gives me the answer. Yeah. I know we live in a microwave generation. They want instant potatoes. They want instant coffee. They want instant tea. They want instant popcorn. But we don't serve a microwave God. Our God is a crock pot God. He likes to sit and simmer for a while so the season gets way down deep. See, I'm from Louisiana. We know how to cook there. And it's the secrets in that seasoning. And if they ever serve you leftovers in Louisiana, you want to eat it because it's better the second day than it was the first because it's soaked for a while. That ought to be the way we are. The more we're around this, the more we soak in it, and the more we smell like it. We got the taste. Friend, I want you to know this is the best thing that's ever happened to anybody. You can't give me this fake mess. I want the real thing, and it's ours for the asking. Go for it. Get up and go for it, Mark! Because it's there. See, I like Joshua because he had that testifying spirit too. He had another spirit. Everybody else had a bad report outside of Caleb, but he was always coming back. Yeah, there's giants out there, but we can whoop them. Yeah. Woo! Yeah, they got Wall City, but we're going to tear them things down. Woo! Hey, I'm not saying there's not going to be problems in the new millennium and Y2K, but I still believe we can whoop it. Hallelujah. Oh, there's going to be problems, but we're going to whip it anyhow. God's going to take care of this people. If there's a church still here in 2000 or 2001, you better believe God's going to take care of his people. How about that testifying spirit says, we're going to win. We're going to whip it. I got another spirit. This church isn't going down. This church is going up. This church isn't dead. This church is alive. This conference isn't dead. This conference is alive. And I'm going through the camp and I'm saying it's time to change our mindset and get our thinking straight and realize that our God has chosen us for this generation. I'm tired of always being on the verge of something. I believe we need to change our mindset. We're not on the verge of anything. We're right in the middle of it. We need to wake up and realize it's happening all around us. Go after it. I see the ark. I see what God has put before us. And he has promised this church a great move of the Spirit. And it's going to happen. But you see, the number one thing that the promised land is known for, it had many different descriptions in the Old Testament. It was known as a land of hills and valleys. But you don't recognize it as that. But you do recognize it as a land that flows with milk and... All right. Flows with milk and honey. You see, the promise has a flow connected to it. The only time that's used in the New Testament is in reference to the Spirit of God that operates in your life. And out of your innermost being shall flow. We need to get the flow. You know, we strive too much in our own spirit. We got a striving mentality. You don't need to strive in your own mind and get all worked up. We need to get the flow. That's the promise. Come on, let's flow together in the Holy Ghost. It's a river. And all you got to step in is into the river and start flowing with it. I just want you to know the Holy Ghost is in this house and I'm going to flow with it. Say, but I'm aggravated. Yeah, I can see you're aggravated. Some of you look aggravated, but that's all right. You just stay aggravated because I'm going to get the flow anyhow. Come on, everybody needs to get into the flow and start moving with the Spirit. Say, well, I got mad at Mama. Well, go straighten it out with Mama. Me and my Mama's doing fine, so I'm going to praise Him. Hallelujah! Come on, get the flow! You don't have to be bogged down in your own mind and in your own spirit. It's time to change that kind of mindset. We are the people of the name of Jesus, and we got a right to the promise. Let's flow. Flow with it. Go with it. You know, that flow is here tonight. And I believe there's somebody that needs a healing. That if you just step into the flow and quit striving against that sickness in your body and just flow with the name of Jesus and the power of the word and have faith. Because faith and emotion are not the same thing. You can be high emotionally and have absolutely no faith in operation. And I've seen where there was no emotion, but faith was in the house and God did the work. God doesn't operate in power when you're feeling good and then operating in weakness when you're feeling bad. It doesn't operate like that. God remains the same. He is consistent and constant regardless of whether you're up or down. It does not change God's power. Because according to my Bible, one of David's mighty men slew a lion in a pit on a snowy day. He was at his lowest and his coldest and he still whooped up on the lion. I don't care how far down you are. I don't care if you're at your lowest and your coldest. There's still power in the name of Jesus to give you victory over the lion. You just need to get a new attitude and get into the flow of the Spirit and say, I've got the charge. I might be at my lowest and my coldest, but He's still exalted and He's not worried about what He's going to do. He already knows what He's going to do. He already knows how He's going to work it out. He just needs somebody to get in the flow of it and start praising Him and start worshiping Him. Let's quit worrying about everything and start worshiping Jesus from the depth of our hearts. I think we need to go for the fullness. But now this is it. If you don't get this, you won't get the message. So listen up very carefully. Because we got to pass over. We got to get over that river of Jordan. I looked up that word Passover, and it's a very unique word. The Lord's Passover. I will pass over you. The Hebrews have disputed that word and its meaning for many years. And of course, it comes from a root word, which means the limping dance. And it refers back to Jacob. when he encountered God and God touched the sinew of his right thigh and dried it up and he halted on his thigh. He was limping, but he was dancing because his relationship was restored with the Almighty. I'll tell you why we can't pass over and go for what God's got for us. It's because we haven't learned how to do the Passover or the limping dance. Because if you're limping, you want everybody to know about it. Yeah, you see this limp, you want to know where I got this limp from, huh? But you need to get that limping dance. Where it says, I might be limping, but I won. I found what I was looking for. Come on, somebody needs to get the limping dance. Sister Mooney knows what I'm talking about. Hallelujah. Break every bone in that leg. I mean, she didn't leave one bone unbroken. Said, man, when I do it, I'm going to do it right. I'm going to break everything I can break. But she's still dancing and praising God. Come on. I know it's tough. I know you're hurting. I know times are rough. But we need to pass over into the promise and get a limping dance. I'm hurting, but I'm still praising God. I'm down, but I still know God's in control. Everything ain't going good, but I still believe Jesus. I still know He rules. See, we live in a hurting society. And I'm going to tell you, I'm preaching to a bunch of hurting people. I'd never embarrass you. And I'd never call you out and try to expose all your hurt, but I'm going to tell you there's a lot of people in this building that's hurting. And I want you to know that everything's not working out just smooth for everybody. And there's a lot of disillusionment and discouragement, and I'm going to admit that and go ahead and just say there's a lot of giants in that land and there's a lot of walled cities. But I also want to give you this faith and confidence in God, that God has given us a promise that He will go before us and He will drive them out and He will give us what He has promised. And I know you may be hurting right now on the inside. Somebody might have treated you bad, put you down, made you feel insignificant, and now you can't get over it. But it's time for you to pass over that. Say, but so-and-so said such and such. Get that out of your spirit and praise God anyhow. But you don't know what I've been through. I don't know what you've been through, but praise God anyway. Get over it. Get over it. Get that limping dance, but I don't understand the way everything is. I don't either, but I'm still going to praise my God and worship His name. I'm not going to stop just because of a hurt. I got to keep flowing. And I got to keep praising Him. Because that's where the power is. That's where the victory is. And it's time for you to remove from your place. You've been hurting too long. You've been in the wilderness too long. You've been battered in your own mind. Some of it real, some of it imaginary. But you're battered in your own thinking. And you need to change the way you're thinking and remove from your place and go after it! Come on, turn your sights, turn your spirit toward the goal. I see it there. God's going to do wonders among us. It's time for you to start praying and sanctifying yourself and getting ready. God's going to do wonders among us. I'm talking about God moving in the miraculous and healing like He's never moved in our midst before. It's going to happen in Jesus' name. God's going to do it because we have to have the ability and the anointing to make a transition and to get positive movement, even though it means change. Even though it means that we're not going to be in the wilderness anymore and the manna is not going to fall every day and we're going to have to plant crops and we're going to have to apply a new method here to get these crops to grow so we can find something to eat. God is still going to keep us, protect us, and He's going to give us the harvest. It belongs to the people of the name of Jesus. And I take it in Jesus' name. But we've got to get the divine order right. So let me show you the divine order. The scripture says that David danced before the Lord. Now our concept before the Lord is this of a medieval king and a court jester coming in and performing his dance to gain the approval of the king. And they do their little jig and they do their little dance and then the king nods and says, oh, wasn't that cute? I think I'll let you live for another day. And doesn't kill him. So everything's fine. But that's not what that means. You don't go in front of the Lord and try to gain His approval with your dance. In the Hebrew, it was actually saying this: David, you dance first, and then you get out of the way, and then I'll take over, and I'll start dancing. Dance before the Lord. That means precedes the Lord. You dance first, and then God takes over, and then it starts happening. Oh, no, Brother Kenzie, that's not the order we have around here. God moves first, and then we dance. No. You dance first, and then God moves. Got to get the divine order right, boy. Man, y'all didn't even look amen on that one. Say, well, when it comes on me, that's when I'm going to start praising God. Well, you're going to sit there all night long because it ain't going to come on you till you start praising Him. Uh-huh, that went over like a ham sandwich at a Jewish wedding, but it's the truth anyhow. You need to get a hold of that spirit that says, I'm going to dance until God steps in. And when David started dancing, then the ark came in behind him, and the Shekinah glory of God overshadowed his dancing, to where everybody forgot about David's dancing. Instead of one reprobate looking out at the window called Michael, but if somebody here would get out of their rut and remove from your place and pass over your Jordan and start getting that limping dance. You said to do it before you did it, God, so I'm going to do it. It's not much. It's 5 loaves and 2 fishes. But that's all I've got, God. But that's enough if you know who He is. He's King. He's Lord. He can pull you out of any rut. He can pull you out of any crisis. He's ready. Come on, listen to the officer tonight. Remove from your place and go after it. I think everybody ought to stand. Everybody ought to stand. Hallelujah. I feel the Holy Ghost working in this place. Hallelujah. Every time the priest cleaned up the temple, remodeled it and repaired it and restored the feast and the festivals and the practice of the Jewish law, they never did that to draw the people back. They never did that to get people to come back to the temple. They did that for one reason, and that's to bring the Shekinah glory of God back to the temple. Bring the glory to the temple. That when the glory comes, the people will come. Because they want to see that fire fall out of heaven and consume that sacrifice and take their sins away. The Shekinah glory is what attracts the people. And we're not doing all this and praising and worshiping and singing and glorifying and preaching and all of that to get people here. It's to bring God here. And that's the divine order. If God ever comes to this place, I promise you, the Spirit of the Lord will take away every hurt, every pain, every brokenness. It will heal. It will set free. We've got to bring God's presence into the house. And everybody's got to receive that charge. That's not just the preacher's job to do that. We need everybody in this building agreeing in one mind and one accord. We're going to bring God's presence into this place. God's Holy Ghost is going to be in the house. I think you need to take the hand of your neighbor and lift it to heaven right now, because you don't know what they're going through. You don't have to get out in the aisle and do any dancing, but I want you to worship the Lord. I'm not saying you got to do that, but I am saying you need to worship your God. I don't care what the pain is. I don't care what you face when you lift your hand, what discouragement or crushing weight tries to put out your fire and keep you from delighting in yourself and the Lord. You get those hands up and you magnify Jesus and you bring His presence into the temple. You stir up that gift that is within you and stir up that glory that's been lying dormant, that needs to get motivated and activated again, because it's there. If you're a God called, if you are God anointed, baptized in Jesus' name and full of the Holy Ghost, that power works in you just like it works in me. I'm no different than you are. You've got the power working in you. You need to stir it up right now. Remove from your place. Don't think the way you thought when you came here. Change your mindset. Change the way you think about it. Get the glory working and get that glory back in the temple. Get that fire burning in your spirit. People will want what you've got if there's some glory in your life. There's some fire in your spirit. There's something burning on the inside that says, I want to win souls. I want to see revival. I want to see our church turned upside down. I want to see our altars filled to capacity and our baptismal waters troubled. And people baptized in Jesus' name. Yes! Yes! If somebody would get down in that valley and start rehearsing it, start fighting a little bit, I guarantee you there'd be a breakthrough for your life in ministry. And that death grip that Satan's got a hold of your faith right now would be broken in the name of Jesus, and you would find out your God is victorious.